listen, think, learn, grow. Listen, think, learn, grow. Live.
This is the Spirit of Life Metaphysics Radio Program, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Michael Kelly and Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening and welcome to the Spirit of Life for Wednesday, May 22nd. My name is Michael Kelly. I'm here with Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Well, I'm happy to be here, Michael. You know, it's a pre-full moon again, May 2024.
Shenanigans are just around the corner with that full moon.
Watch out. It's tomorrow night. Look out. Brooms are raising.
Excuse me. Welcome to those joining us live. Always so good to see you. And thanks to everybody that takes the time to catch up with us in the archive. Excuse me. Spirit of Life is a weekly service and educational program of the International Church of Metaphysical Humanism. Our mission is to explore and empower the human spirit, as well as to explore science and spirituality. In addition to this broadcast, ICMH offers other educational programs that can be found at metaphysicsinstitute.org and tfuniversity.org. As always, we're going to begin tonight with our 9 abbreviated principles of belief. Those are 1. Do no harm, do right. 2. We believe in the indomitable power of the human spirit. The answers we seek already exist within us. 3. We believe that we alone are responsible for and capable of solving human social problems. 4. We are all equal. One planet, one race, one ancestry, one destiny. 5. We recognize and honor the divine energy that exists in all living things. 6. We are physical and spiritual beings. Consciousness survives death of the physical body. 7. Self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will creates self-completeness. 8. Metaphysical education and practical life skills empower the human spirit and enhance the human condition. And 9. Expanding human consciousness leads to human evolution and peaceful coexistence. So, tonight, Dr. Vicki, you and I were going to have a bit more of an open discussion. And I think you had a couple of interesting topics to get us started. But, of course, as I put in chat, if anybody has anything on their mind, please feel free to share. But by all means, take it away, Dr. Vicki.
Well, I found it most interesting that we had all these, you know, solar flares last week and the aurora borealis being seen everywhere. And I came across an article which, like, whoa, that's interesting. And I went to space.com, solar storm effects reach deep sea, for anybody interested. Excuse me. It was strong enough, the solar storm frenzy was strong enough to affect the deep sea. So, subsea compasses deep underwater recorded disturbances in Earth's magnetic field. It's a first that they've been able to do this, except that they did notice back in March that there had been some other activity, which I found really fascinating, Michael, that it was a really powerful one. Mm-hmm. But it's not unusual. So I think our number one, our science is advancing. Mm-hmm. But apparently this cycle goes every 11 years and lasts for a couple of years.
And, you know, I think it's important to kind of keep that in mind. This is not a new phenomenon. We've been dealing with this for a long time. Right. It's just something that we're able to measure more accurately now. And I only say that because, you know, there's so much clickbait out there, so many different articles that'll have, you know, these, you know, unbelievable, literally, you know, headlines and things talking about, you know, the solar flares are going to destroy humanity and et cetera, et cetera. But, you know, I'm just catching up on chat a little bit too. Mm-hmm. But I find it very interesting, these cycles of life, and, you know, that you noted about the, I think it was the Canadian organization, too, that found it, so props to your people.
Yeah, I find it really fascinating that we can measure this now and how our magnetics mm-hmm. change, and it does. In another article I came across, It does affect, if it affects the ocean, it affects life in the ocean as well as other animals, people. You know, everybody is affected to some degree when there are these disturbances. Now, to what level, I'm not sure. You know, I think for anybody to say, oh, you know, this is going on with me because of the solar flares, I think is a little bit too much. But some people get headaches, you know. There was a few cases of birds going, you know, off whatever and dying along the coast of California. And does that have to do with it? Well, we don't have any evidence to that effect because those things have happened before. But we do know that Earth's magnetic field is changing.
Well, so don't the poles swap every, you know, I don't know, 500, 600,000 years or something like that?
Yeah, I think it's every 26,000, but something shifts every 13. So some people have said that the Earth actually flips, at some point. But, do I know? So if anybody's
hearing
things,
it's all matter of perspective, isn't it?
I have to say, if anybody's hearing stuff in the background, I am in the presence of a storm outside. Mm. Thunder, pouring rain. So if you hear anything
spirits.
In the background, it's, and if my power goes out, shrug. Oh, well, I'm sorry. Then you're on your own, Michael. So
yeah, then it's going to be a whole, you know, it's going to be basically a lecture on my most recent Star Trek theories. What's happening in Discovery? What is the future of Star Trek? Is Section 31 going to be a good movie? Stay tuned.
Yeah, that's funny. I just had to say that because it's very loud here. And
actually, I can't hear anything.
Oh, well, that's good to know.
I think my dog's laying on the power cord that gives feedback loop in. Mm-hmm. I think that's the most annoying part going on right now. I can't hear the thunder at all.
But so I think that if anybody wants to read more on the solar flares, and apparently we're in for some more, and it's not going to be... there was one other thing I wanted to add, that when the solar flares happen, there's certain apps that farmers use that apparently the solar flares interrupted the signals and all their equipment didn't work. And that was through Saskatchewan in Canada and, again, down through the U.S. And I found, isn't that interesting that there's certain satellite interferences when these storms happen. And I thought, well, there's a... Another thing, don't get too addicted to your cell phone and internet stuff.
I sincerely doubt it'll be down for very long.
Yeah, no, it wasn't. But it put them out for, I think, a better part of a day. And there was just nothing that the providers or servers could do about it because, you know, it's solar flares.
Yeah. Unless they have landlines.
You know, so nobody has landlines up here, Mike, except in the north, you know. So it's Dr. Jerry said her car radio quit working and some crazy stuff started coming through. That's interesting. So again, I mean, what I think we have to keep in mind that we take a lot for granted in our, you know, advancing technology and any number of things, whether it's, there was that whole case of this massive space debris ended up in a Saskatchewan farmer field. And then he put it up for auction. But it was massive. And they figure it was from a satellite, you know.
Sure.
It's junk.
There's so much junk in space. You know, so many different space missions, satellites that have gone defunct, and current satellites. You know, there's a lot of stuff floating up there. We have some different thoughts coming through in chat. But Dr. Vicky, I know you had a couple of things you wanted to touch on. Light therapy, very interesting. I didn't know if you want to touch on acupuncture, but I thought maybe we could talk about that and then start talking about some of the things in chat.
Yeah. There's my massage therapist here. My daughter is good friends with her. And just the other day she went for a particular treatment. It was a treat to herself, where you go and sit in this pod for light therapy. And there's a woman talking to you. What are you here for? What would you like to work on? Inflammation, whatever it is. And she said, hey, you decide. And the woman says, no, you tell me. Is there anything in particular? And So she had this treatment. It was all keyed into a computer. And so had this whole experience of this light therapy. And I guess she really did feel affected. She got tingles. Her mouth went numb, I guess, or, you know, tingles in her legs. And so the treatment was for like 50 minutes, which is a long time, really, mm-hmm. when you're sitting in a pod. But the result was she had so much energy, she didn't know what to do with herself. Taking the kids.
That's good. I think we lost you there for a second.
It's the first time she's felt like that in a long time.
Just FYI, at least for me, I couldn't hear you for a good 5 seconds, or maybe 2 seconds. Time is weird when you're on.
Oh, see, it's the storm, because I didn't touch a thing. But she had all this energy afterward. So my daughter had asked her, well, do you think it would be the same the second time? She goes, I don't know. But it's apparently this new technology where you sit in this pod and they computerized this whole system of different light frequencies. Now, this is not new science, everybody. This is, it's been going on for a long time. I think I told the story a couple of times where back in the late 90s, I knew a couple of retired gentlemen. They were scientists that started a light therapy clinic, but they were way ahead of their time. And they went in and they would take a picture of your aura and then find a way, blah, blah, to decide what kind of therapy was best for you. And they would go over the results before, ahead of time. And when I went in for the results, because I hadn't had a treatment yet, they said, okay, there's this that needs attention, that needs attention, and this needs attention. And everything he told me wasn't me. It was referencing the clients I had had in the week or 10 days prior to seeing him. Like even down to, well, your uterus, blah, blah. And I said, well, I don't have a uterus. But I was working on a pregnant client who was having a terrible back issues, and I asked if I could touch her back and do some healing on that because she was having so much stress. And I said, so that makes sense to me. But what I learned is I wasn't clearing my energy enough and that I had to learn how to do that better, because when we exchange energy, there's always a residual. So when I asked him if I could do a meditation and we start over, it was too much for him. He didn't want to go there. So I never did go through with the treatment. But this is, like I say, this is not new. And I think it's been the science of light therapy using, you know, different kinds of lasers and so on. It's been going on for many decades. But now there's a pod.
I think,
I think it's all about the technician too, everybody. So, you know, it's never a given that you're going to get a result that you want, because it's all about who's operating the show.
So true. I think that is, I think that's true and applicable in so many things in life.
Yep.
I was just going to say, I can't help but think that I've been unintentionally doing light therapy every night as I fall asleep to the TV for years. But
you probably have. Dr. Jerry has mentioned perhaps all the tingling for her in this pod was the release of energy blocks and more energy. That can totally be true. Absolutely. You know, we know that we respond to, you know, sound, music, color, sensation. I mean, that's why hospitals are painted a certain color. It's why this psychology and the study of that has been going on for ages and ages. So does it change how we feel? Absolutely. Does the tingling mean it's releasing energy? Could very well be. I mean, I can't say a definitive answer on that, mm-hmm. but yeah, I mean, it makes sense to me. You know, it just makes sense.
Absolutely. You know, I keep coming to this idea that you can't define what existence is for everybody, because we're all going to feel things differently because we're made differently. Some might say we're attuned differently. And that's a good thing. Variety, diversity is an essential for the functioning of humanity. It's how we can adapt to so many things, because there's always going to be a personality type. There's always going to be somebody who thinks a certain way or perceives a certain way that's going to be well adapted to deal with the situation.
Sure.
So, you know, I think that people might be more attuned to the flares, the energy, that tingling. Others might not. This is a good time as any to segue into one of the chat thoughts, and I'm going to try to get to them all. Wendy had talked about how she's thinking about how odd it is that some people have an internal monologue and others don't, which is a mind blower for me too. It's hard for me to conceive of somebody that doesn't think to themselves.
I'd like to touch on that, Michael, but I want to go back to say Dr. Edward has kindly put in there that when we're talking about the color therapy, he said it's called chromotherapy. Thank you for that, Dr. Edward. So before we get on to the next topic.
Oh, of course. But, and I actually, come to think of it, I don't know that I – did you get to talk about the acupuncture, and did I just miss it, or did I just cut you off?
No, I didn't. I had acupuncture today. You were just remembering what we talked about before the show.
Ah, I didn't know if that was something you were going to touch on.
No, we
do prep. We do prep. Trust me.
Yeah.
But,
so the inner dialogue, I have been, and thank you for that too, Wendy and Michael, for bringing it up, because I have met people who do not ponder their thoughts, and they don't know what their thoughts are.
Like they don't hear that voice that is themselves talking to themselves.
Well, I think it's a self-awareness, you know, and what do you think? And they go, I don't know. How do you think? I don't know.
When I've interacted with people online that talk about they claim to not have that inner monologue, you know, they think in pictures and sounds and visualizations and things like that. Some person said they thought it was weird that somebody would, you know, be walking around all day with a constant narration. Which, you know, it's not that. It's not a narration. It's, sometimes you're quiet, sometimes you talk to yourself, sometimes you're listening, sometimes, you know, you're just goofing, you know, you're imagining things. You know, there were times when I was younger, I looked forward to going to bed because I would have these elaborate stories that I'd work up in my imagination, and, you know, I'd have these, you know, big, you know, inner dialogues of, you know, just different characters and different things like that. Well, I guess may not qualify as an inner monologue. Regardless, surely people have talked to themselves, you know, replaying a conversation they had or thinking about how they could have done something better. That has to be universal, right?
You know, I when I was younger, I always believed that everyone wanted to become a better human being, and I learned that's not true.
Define a better human being. That's the first step.
I like to believe and did believe that everyone does replay conversations to say, what can I do different or better? And I learned that's not true.
Mm-hmm.
And if you ask somebody, what could you have done differently? They go, I don't know. I haven't thought about it. It's no different when I had a conversation with a woman about, I asked her what her, you know, spirituality of choice was. Well, what do you mean?
Hmm.
Well, what do you choose to believe in?
And that's a good segue for.
I'm a Christian. And I said, well, that's your religion of choice. Well, it's not a choice. It just is. I said, no, it is a choice. Even though you were raised in that doesn't mean it's not a choice. And she hadn't thought about that. And that's what was so fascinating to me. So I think a lot of people don't question things and they don't think about it.
In academic circles, when you're talking philosophy and ethics, that is called a cultural, you know, religious, they're a cultural believer. They believe in it because they're not a true believer. It's because it's the culture they were raised in. And it's just the way of things, you know? It's kind of funny because I think one of the biggest fundamental aspects to Christianity, at least as it was introduced to me, is personal choice. You know, I would think even the older dogmatic styles that aren't Jehovah's Witnesses would still have the, you know, you make personal choices and the free will that God, quote unquote, gives you. But witnesses also don't baptize their children right away. It's a choice you have to make when you're of age, which, you know, it's still culturally influenced and et cetera. But and I don't mean to cut off anything you're going to say, but this is also a perfect segue to Zach's question, Dr. Zach in the chat. And he was asking, let me just scroll up to quote correctly, are spiritual people happier than non-spiritual people? Can atheists be happy? And I guess I think we need to kind of first off define atheist. Would you consider an atheist somebody who is strictly materialist? Or can you define an atheist as somebody who doesn't believe in a dogmatic religion but is open to spirituality?
I think that's agnostic.
That's kind of what I think, too. But you know, I think the trouble with language is that everybody defines things a little differently. I typically think of atheists who strictly say, nope, there's no God, nothing like that, instead of, it's impossible to know.
Well,
I do define
Jervis,
them as more materialist.
I think Ricky Gervais, and he's a self-proclaimed atheist, and he just says, when you're dead, you're dead. You know, and that's it. You end.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't stop him from living a full life.
Oh, sure.
You know, he's happy, content. He finds the humor, although it's at times very twisted. And he mocks life.
Mm-hmm.
But he's a very contented human being.
Sure.
He just says, there's no evidence in my mind to support anything exists past this world.
And in his
world, he's fine with that. So it's subjective.
Absolutely, it is. And, you know, I have said on more than one occasion on this broadcast that I have gotten myself to a point where if this is it, it's okay.
Yeah.
I'm not going to rule out something grander. You know, we all feel that little touch to the bigger, wider existence. But if this is all that there is, that's okay. It's a wonderful life. We get to experience existence. You know, I mean, there's a lot of different disciplines. Buddhism, you know, they often say that we live in a paradise. It's just this thinking kind of gets in the way. You know, take that with a grain of salt. Obviously, a famine will ruin that, or a flood will ruin that real fast. But I think that we appreciate the moment. You know, we appreciate what we have. We appreciate time with your loved ones, and you appreciate just hanging out on the couch or spending time with the dogs or anything, you know? It's there's a lot of things to love about life. And if there's something beyond, wow, that's fantastic. You know, that's just cherry on top. But when it comes to happiness, I think you made a great point talking about contentedness. And I think that happiness, in a lot of ways, for the human animal, is connection with other people. I think that's a fundamental. I think it's different for everybody. Some people are just more naturally built to be, you know, the lone wolf type. But I think for a lot of people, the majority, it's the human social connections that really will bring happiness. And I think religion is that social connection for a lot of people. It's the excuse to get together and to do stuff.
I don't disagree, Michael. Dr. Zach has said something interesting that we have to consider. He says he thinks he defines spiritual as understanding the interconnectedness between all living things, and he asks, are those people happier? Now, I think that's a double-edged sword.
Ignorance is bliss.
Well, no, I think that when we understand we're all connected, we have great compassion.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we have a sense of empathy and a sense of wanting to feel that connectedness. And mm-hmm. we understand life on the planet. It equally, all the tragedies on Earth and the injustices give us a pain in a place we can't explain.
Mm.
And that's what I mean by a double edge.
Exactly.
You know, so there's some things I can't think about because it pains me in a place in my spirit that
I mean,
it's an agony in a way.
So that's what
I mean. But I think I'm very much at peace with what I feel is true to me. But when I open myself up globally and I see all this, you know, mismanagement, it breaks my heart. Again, in a place that, you know, I can't explain.
You know, I agree. I've always been a very empathetic person. I've always reacted very much when another person is upset. It's hard to see what's going on in the world, and it has been for a very long time, probably all of human existence. And that is the curse of intelligence, of awareness. By which I mean human intelligence. I'm not talking about myself. I'm talking about we human beings as a species are intelligent enough to understand to a very high degree what's going on in other places. And, yeah, empathy, it's a wonderful thing for making the world better, and it also hurts. And, you know, maybe that's a good thing because it drives us to try to continue building on a better world. It is very tough for me to look through the different, you know, the Florida rehoming and adoption and rescue pages on Facebook because there's so many dogs and more dogs than cats, but their cats are in there too that need help. And you can't. I do strongly believe that we as a society could decide to take care of them without having kill shelters, but we haven't gotten there, and I personally can't save all of them, and it's a tough spot. So I understand what you're saying, Dr. Vicki.
You know, it's a dilemma at times. You know, I want to touch on a subject that's been going through the chat, and for anybody who's in the archives, you ever get a chance to join us, it's interesting. And you're talking about this is in a reference to an inner dialogue versus your own self-dialogue versus hearing voices. And I'm really paraphrasing what's going on in the chat room. But, and how that can, you know, touch on, ooh, you're schizophrenic, you know. And thankfully, Dr. Jerry has just written, there's a huge difference between schizophrenia and the inner voice. And thanks for that, Jerry, because there distinctly is. Now, in my world, schizophrenia is something in the mind where there's no filter to, and it's a biochemical disorder, where there's no filter to other worlds and other dimensions. That's what I believe. Now, in order to help these people, these folks, you know, there's all kinds of medications from clozapine to a number of other drugs that help to calm that and filter so that these folks can stay more grounded in this reality. And so biochemical disorders and depression or schizophrenia, bipolar, manic depression, and that list where it's absolutely a biochemical issue in the brain.
Oh, sure.
And you do know the difference between a schizophrenia versus hearing a voice, but you are still intact.
Mm-hmm.
So it's nothing is controlling you.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing is demanding things of you. Well, you know, they can make suggestions and say, nah, I'm not going to do that. Because you're the boss of you.
Right.
You know, you can decide.
I mean,
you know, when people say to me, oh, the universe sent me here, or my spirit guide sent me here, I say, well, you agreed to it.
Right.
Because you don't have to agree to anything if you don't want to. So, you know, schizophrenia enters into that world of absolute no control because you have no biochemical filter. So I think that that's really important to acknowledge here.
And defining also the difference between what you might call intrusive thoughts that are universal and true schizophrenia. Because we always have every human being, and it's become quite a popular thing on social media, you know, the intrusive thoughts, that you know, those thoughts that just pop in your head, you know.
I think that's normal.
Exactly. And there's a difference between that and, you know, schizophrenia. And I think
everybody's had those intrusive thoughts, Michael.
Oh, sure.
And sometimes they're just really weird. But I don't think...
Existence is weird, yeah.
You know, I had a woman come to me, and I might have told this story before, and she said, you know, I was driving down the road with my kids, and I suddenly thought, what would it be like if I drove over the cliff? And I said, yeah, but you didn't do it. Maybe that's a past life thing. Maybe that's a blip in the radar.
Mm-hmm.
But you didn't do it. It doesn't mean there's something wrong with you. Those are those really weird, intrusive thoughts that, you know, blip into. Maybe that's something happening on another dimension.
Mm-hmm.
But you didn't do anything with it. It was just a wonderment,
yep.
You know.
And, well,
and just because it was negative, but we all have wonderment about good things. You know,
right.
And we're going to have wonderment about bad things. So,
you know,
it's like that doesn't mean you have a mental illness.
No, very true. And I think it's important to talk about it because so many people will think, you know, hey, I have intrusive thoughts, or hey, you know, sometimes I feel sad, sometimes I'm unmotivated. You know, they might think it's a them issue. No, it's humanity. Yeah. It's universal. And I like the clarification. And of course, you know, we're not licensed mental health providers per se for anything like schizophrenia or anything like that. But it is one of those elements of humanity that we all are part of this world. We're all figuring it out together.
Well, Dr. Jerry said spirit guides also speak to us with an inner voice as well. Dr. Zach says sometimes I think random epiphanies are our guides. Mm-hmm. And I guess I tend to agree, but I know people who would disagree.
Well,
and
I mean,
so
I have think epiphany. That, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Know, no, I mean, I've been writing my first big sci-fi plausible human, you know, mm-hmm. novel, and in the final edits of it. And it's been a download. I don't know where it came from.
Like, well, where does anything come from? I mean, creativity. And ultimately, something does have to come from nothing, you know, at the end of the day. Life had to come from somewhere. You know, and I was talking about this online earlier. Whether you believe in, you know, just strictly materialist evolution, or you believe in God, you do believe that at some point something came from nothing. Or existence has always existed, or, you know, but why is there something instead of nothing? That was something I was kind of joking about with you beforehand as well. But, you know, it's the creative process. Like me, I have the inner dialogue. I have epiphanies. I've never personally attributed it to a spirit guide or being directed, but I also don't care. You know, it is what it is. Wherever it came from, I am thankful. And, you know, I will go with it. I am incapable of knowing. I do not have the perspective to know if it's a spirit guide, or maybe it's the opposite. Maybe it's a prankster entity, demon, alien, I don't know, that's like, I'm going to give him this good idea because if, you know, if he didn't have this good idea, he would be bored and he would eventually think of this even better idea down the road. But, you know, it's just, life is big. We have to be able to say we don't know.
Well, it makes sense to me. I've had this since I was a kid, so I have always just felt that somebody was with me and met new ones that come and go. And I've had some pop into my dreams I haven't seen for 20 or 30 years. And I go, oh, it's so good to see you. And for me, that's my reality.
Exactly.
And I like my reality. And so I'm good with that, and I'm comfortable. Well, and this is what I want to really impart with people is if you're comfortable – and you're still, you know, grounded in your own mind, grounded in your own body, and, you know, it makes sense to you. Just be open-minded for new software.
Yeah, that's a great way of putting it. And I was going to say, you know, your world sounds nice. It sounds actually nice to have that feeling. But also, I think, you know, if I were in your shoes and had those feelings, I would think the exact same way. I haven't. But we also are all different, and it's okay to be different, just like people that have an inner monologue and people that don't. Audra, I was able to catch something you were talking about earlier, how your son, let me scroll back up so I don't misquote. I believe you had said that he doesn't have an inner monologue per se, though he'll, you know, he can hear when he's reading and things, he'll hear the character voices, and, you know, he can visualize and has auditory thoughts. You know, we're all different, and that's good. By the way, Dr. Jerry, I was joking. I don't actually believe in demons. I know she was pointing out the coursework. No, that's
hey, look,
a joke.
Are there spirits working through issues? Yeah, sure.
Just well, it's like all semantics. People.
I look, everybody, to have a clarity here. People who, and this is again my reality, people who have had issues here and what we might call really dark, evil people, you know, they leave this world and go into another. They still got those issues. So could they be considered demons?
Yeah,
I think that's an interpretation. I just call them people who got issues. And that's why I'm not afraid of that. And so have I met some dark spirits? Yeah. I just say, oh, well, I got profanities for that. And I just say, get lost. You mean nothing to me. They have no power. The minute you have fear, they have power. And I want to make that very clear to everybody. They hang on to whatever fear you have. Because that's the whole point of, a sociopath, a psychopath, a narcissist. They look for a weakness in somebody. So if you have a fear, you're going to think it's demonic. You're going to think somebody has control over you.
Well,
but that's not the case. It's within you, and it's your challenge to find that moment within yourself to say, what can they possibly do to me?
We all have free will. People that will claim possession and things like that, I have a tough time with it. I mean, again, never say never, but we all have free will. It's all semantics. We all define things differently. I was joking and I was kind of scrambling for words to just talk about anything, but no, I personally don't believe in demons. I say that I don't necessarily believe in a lot. I hope in things. I think some things are very possible and very interesting ideas. But it's all semantics, right? Because to me, a demon is a fallen angel created by God. Because I was brought up in a very Christian environment that I'm no longer in. Mm-hmm. But I don't believe in those. I can definitively say that. Malignant, dark spirits that are trying to get you all the time.
They're just dead people with issues.
I mean, there are, a-holes in this world that aren't dead, It's not that much of an extreme, to jump. In fact, that's a Ricky Gervais joke that he was talking about how, from his point of view, spirits don't exist, so you don't have to be scared on Halloween. But psychopaths do exist, so you might want to lock your doors. But
that's funny.
But
I think we're at that time.
We are past that time, honestly.
You and I never run out of things to talk about. And with the help of everybody in the chat, thank you very much.
Big help, thank you.
Yeah, so let's get on to who would like a card or two today. And for those new in our chat, I see Demian is one. Thank you. Welcome, Demian. It's nice to see you here. Michael chooses an Inner Oracle Self-Discovery card designed by Dr. Douglas Kelly, and I do a support tarot card to see what kind of a...
you say support, but really I'm the supporting one because I get to read from a handy guidebook that actually comes with the deck. So
yeah, but you're the one who triggers whatever my senses, my spidey senses tell me. So.
Well, hey, I will take it and thank you. But I know we have Dr. Jerry up first, and I will pull an Inner Oracle card. And I do believe in the randomness kind of says something. And you get number 7. It's in the self-completeness suit, self-mastery. And a little behind-the-scenes fact, I will only ever mention the suit if I'm trying to buy time to look up the guidebook. So self-mastery. To know who you are and why you are who you are is self-actualization. To choose and walk your own path is self-determination, giving inner peace. Not allowing others to dictate your behavior is self-control. Remain true to your convictions. This is self-mastery towards the path of self-completeness.
Oh, Jerry, I pulled the Jack of Swords, the Knight of Swords, Jack of Spades. Interesting. So we know a little bit about you, and I'm going to say that there is a fellow in your life or soon to be ex-fellow in your life who might be giving you a bit of grief. And the self-mastery is, and you know this, Jerry, but it's an affirmation being given to you here, is just to stay calm, stay true to yourself, and put up those white lights and that wall of protection around you. Because I feel like there might be some porcupine quills coming your way. But even then, as I'm going to draw a secondary card, in support of that is justice. So in this, fairness, equitability, but also legal matters. So it's a matter of standing your ground and being very calm about it. Don't let anybody push you around. So you're all good, Jerry. You got this.
I like it. Always good advice. Dr. Edward, for you, I have number 31, Sacred Obligations. A sacred obligation is a sacrosanct duty that any higher being would render for the highest good of all concerned. Sacred obligations include do no harm, do right, pay it forward, uphold individual value, value all life, extend tolerance and equality, control and change only what one is entitled to control and change, evolve and grow as a human being with higher awareness, promote knowledge, not fear, and more. Continue to aspire to your highest good by recognizing and fulfilling your sacred obligations.
You know, the Seven of Clubs tells me in this case, Edward, I just had a little story play in my head. You're making a decision that's good for you, but others might not agree with it. But that you believe in your good conscience and being conscientious in a decision, or perhaps that others may have other suggestions, but you're holding true to yourself. Because that, I always see cards like the Seven of Clubs as self-protection. So you're going to hold true, in this case, to your sacred obligations and what is like good for you. And I think that's, you know, it's a rare thing, and it's a wonderful thing, even though, again, you have some challenge or opposition to it. So be you. Just do what you feel is correct action.
Sounds good.
All right. Audra?
I think we have Dr. Did I miss Audra? I thought we had Dr. Zoran. Oh, yeah, we do.
Oh, well, I see. I had missed Edward, too, so we have Zoran next.
All right. And for you, I have number 17, reinvention. Nothing is more powerful or transformative than self-reinvention resulting in a personal identity foundation shift. Far-reaching and profound, such a personal reinvention shifts the foundation of your self-concept from external to internal, which in turn is vital to your future success and happiness. Re-examine your core values, ensuring they're healthy. Answer the questions, what do I call a good day, and what else in my life should be reinvented?
Okay, so just so we're clear, Wendy also had Audra next, but I'm sticking with the program here with you, Michael.
Well, we can just scroll up. It's right there.
Zoran, I got the Nine of Clubs, and I don't know what it is tonight, but it seems to me that there's a lot of self-preservation going on here in the energy this week, because I have the Nine of Clubs for you, Zoran. So as you're reinventing yourself, it's again that pause and standing guard, you know, that self-protection. So, you know, when we change, here's the thing about when we are changing ourselves, other people don't understand us unless we kind of explain it. And I always think it's a good idea to share with others, look, I'm learning about myself, I'm still figuring it out, but the things I used to believe or the way I used to behave, I'm changing, I'm working on it. And so that they don't feel threatened or insecure. But look, if other people do feel that way, there's nothing we can do about it. So this is about your reinvention as you continue to expand your awarenesses. Is protect that. You know, it's that sometimes I think the best place to be is in a quiet place and just let people talk and maybe ask them a question or two.
Instead, I like that.
You know, and the best defense is an offense of asking them questions, you know, and maybe get through it better that way.
Well said. So. All right, Audra. All right, Audra, this is going to be a big one. Dr. Vicky wanted to bump Drs. Edward and Zoran to get to you, so she's going to have something profound.
All right,
and for you, I have number 13, positive consciousness. It is our soul's natural inclination to be positive. Therefore, positive consciousness transcends positive thinking. As human beings, we can find ourselves with a need to filter negativities and ill will. Be at peace with your natural self and continue displaying goodwill towards others. Don't hate or hold hatred in your heart. Maintain your positive attitude even in the face of obstacles and discouragements, for they are temporary.
Okay, so Wendy now says you were right. Zoran was next.
Ah, well, vindication.
You are vindicated. So, Audra, positive consciousness. Ah, I love this. The supporting energy of that is the magician. You were in a big transformation. And it's kind of like when, you know, when you surprise yourself, Michael, like you didn't realize you had changed overnight, but you did.
Mm.
And then suddenly you're thinking and acting different and you say, oh, well, that's new. That would have ordinarily scared me, but I'm not scared, you know, or that would have intimidated me, but I'm not feeling intimidated. So there's this wonderful shift in your energy, Audra, in who you are and what you're becoming. It's like, you know, a flower blooming, and but you didn't know you were blooming.
Oh,
kind of something I want to add to that. Yeah, I want to add to that, though, is, you know, as we make that kind of a shift, is be comfortable with it. You know, and just roll with it, because the tendency is to want to go back to old behavior. And, you know, so it's like, what is life after healthy? Well, you're living the healthy. You're living that other thing. So it's, you know, be as positive and self-supporting as you can be. Just roll with it. It's awesome. I love it.
I apologize for the feedback. Various dogs are laying down in various cords. It's unavoidable. I can't do anything about it except move the cords.
We have Zach next, I think. Dr. Zach.
I think so as well.
It was so good to have him on the program a couple of weeks ago.
It was a blast.
We're going to do it again. Yeah.
We will. I mean, we're going to hold you to that. It's a pleasure, and I always look forward to it. And I'm looking forward to connecting soon as well. All right, Dr. Zach. Full moon coming up for you. I have number 44. Attitude and disposition. Enthusiasm or an agreeable disposition, along with good manners, assures individual happiness that inevitably influences others. Drawing this card may indicate a time to review a change in attitude regarding someone or something in your life. This can be positive or negative. Be proactive and ask yourself, how hard can it be? A can-do attitude makes it happen.
Oh, you're going to like this, Zach. I've got the Six of Clubs. So, okay, well, the Six of Wands in tarot language. And the Minor Arcana does go along. It's equal to a regular deck of playing cards for those who are new here. I don't know, Zach, I get the feeling that you've arisen to something. Attitude and disposition with that Six of Clubs. That's, you finally get it and you're okay with it. So, you know, when we're working on stuff, Michael, and then finally it clicks, and then that day
epiphany.
It just clicked. And we don't struggle with it anymore. It's like, I don't have to work on that anymore. I don't have to struggle. I mean, there's always another thing.
Oh, sure.
It always happens. But you've arisen into something in yourself, Zach. And that opens a whole new world, a whole new reality, or a way of seeing reality and possibilities for yourself. And that's very exciting. So I want to say yay. And he just wrote yay in the chat. I want to say yay for Zach. That's awesome.
I like it. All right. And we have our card keeper up herself, Wendy, next, if I'm not mistaken. Chat's going by quick now, so I'm trying to keep up.
Yeah.
I believe we have our car keeper, Wendy, and I think we have Dr. Kevin after, and I think that's it, unless I missed somebody. But, by the way, thanks for the shout-out. Audra, of course, had that card on March 13th, so you get a little bit of repeat there. Very interesting that we haven't had as many repeats this year. But, all right, Wendy, for you, I have number 24, truth. There are many ways to discover cosmic truth. It begins with knowing who you are and why you are who you are. This is your truth. Discovering cosmic truth involves further discovering the truths that are often concealed within a relationship or a life situation. Yet the only truths kept secret are those we will not see. This is a time of deep introspection to intuitively gauge the way ahead. This card may indicate that there is truth in something or in a direction.
Oh, Wendy, I got the Queen of Diamonds. I love that. Oh, it could be a realization of yourself in independence, in your physical world, in your finances. But again, it's about independence. There's no dependency here. There's no, it's like having an autonomy and understanding an autonomy of self. That is so powerful, Wendy. So when you have truth and that Queen of Diamonds, imagine yourself sitting in a garden and saying, I created this. Nobody else created it. I created it. And being in that wonderment of self, of the magic you created. And it's sustaining that. And I don't know, it's like giving yourself credit for that. It's and how you move forward. Because now you want to maintain, sustain, and as much as you're willing to accept assistance and help, I mean, there's always other ways of doing things that you want to expand and grow. And I think in this case, maybe need a new car. she just wrote in the chat, I just said yesterday that I feel like things are not going well for me right now because the universe is trying to push me towards where I need to be, where it knows I will be happy. And I think that this is the message for you, is about what do you want? What is your truth? So I'm going to speak as a woman for a minute and as a mother and now a grandmother. We do, and again, I can't speak for you, Michael, and you may not get this, but
well, I'm 0-3 on that list.
Yeah, well, we are, as maternal beings, always having to work for something, to feed someone, to house someone, to look after someone, whether that's a partner, a child, or extending ourselves in a maternal way. And who are we without all that? You know, so when you say things are not going well for you, it's that understanding of self and what's good for you that's not feeding others.
Mm.
And that's a very powerful moment, Wendy, when you understand what feeds me. I am a free and sovereign being of the universe. And who am I? And thank you for writing that. She just said exactly, Dr. Vicky, thank you. Well, she didn't say thank you. It's exactly, I was saying thank you to you for affirming that. Because sometimes when there are these challenges and things aren't going well, it's going in a direction. Trust me, I've been there. Like, it's too many times that I can't count. But it pushed me in a direction of having to look in the deepest places of myself. You know, about 14 years ago, back in Alberta, 15 years ago, I ended up living on a farm with all my critters, in a place where it was a little bit too remote for my clients, no contact with other people. And it was the most alone 2 years I'd ever had in my life. And I, whoa. And thankfully I had critters, you know, kept me busy. But it made me dig really deep. And that was the time also that I joined IMHS and got to know Dr. Doug. I started, you know, doing some work with the school. I started writing courses. So here I was living in this very isolated place, emotionally, mentally, and having to dig the deepest I had ever done in my life. And whew, out of that emerged, you know, a lot of other challenges along the way. But that moment of, whoa, and I knew that there was more to come. So who are we without feeding others? That's enormous. Mm-hmm. And so I think it may be concerning men in a different way, where men are providers or to have different kinds of nurturing. I think it's just a different expression. That's all. Well, but I'm saying, because I understand Wendy in that way, and she's got grown children. She has a little farm of animals. She has a partner. And I don't think things are going wrong. It's just things are not in your control. And, I mean, I hate those moments, I got to say. It said, don't hate. Well, you know, look, I loathe those moments. And recently, so I'll share this too, Wendy. I've been renting this place that I'm in for 9 years, and I just got a notice to vacate. They gave me 4 months because they want their parents to move in here. So I'm in a place where I have to find a place to live in a very difficult market that's grown way more expensive. But part of me is saying, this is a challenge. I have no idea how this is going to work out.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not my karma to be homeless on the street.
Well, no.
I have other options. I have other things, mm-hmm. You know.
I offered my guest room with 1 to 2 dog roommates.
Thank you. And my allergy to dogs. I didn't used to have that, but I have in the past few years. But, and I thank you for that, Michael. I do like Florida. But it's those are moments when you say, well, this isn't going well. And then you say, well, you know, there's a lot of things that are going well. And it's going to be okay. So it's, she says I can come help her on the farm. Oh my God, that would be heaven. I would love that.
I mean, Wendy, can I come on the farm too?
That's awesome. So Demian is saying it's funny how we get older and get these strange allergies. Well, I had mold poisoning, for the record. I had mold poisoning.
That can be nasty.
9, 10 years ago, and my immune system took a beating.
Yeah.
So it that's just the way it ran, and that's life. So I've learned to be okay with it. So it's, you know, life throws us those curveballs to everybody, and we all have challenges, but it's our attitude and what gets us through. And for you, Wendy, that autonomy of self and that Queen of Diamonds just says, whew, I got this. You know?
I love it.
And you do have this. So Aunt Damien is saying, yeah, he's backing up there saying that's a new chapter. We don't, the reason we're uncomfortable is because we don't know what's on the other side. And we are beings that like control. And listen, people, nobody likes control better than me. Having
or
to
me.
Deal with getting older and having to come with to terms where there's things my body can't do anymore, and my pride is taking a beating. I told my daughter that today. I said, my pride is taking a beating. I am having to suck up so much crap. But that's what happens, you know. It's, it just gets that way, and it's the next part of life.
Yeah. It's an interesting ride. And, I understand what you're saying, too, about the maternal energy. And, Dr. Kevin, I still have your card here, so we haven't forgotten. But, I there are times where I remind myself that, you know, it's not about me or us or my experience. Because, you know, from my perspective, I didn't really have a maternal energy because my mom, okay, albeit in the first early years, she was still with it enough to provide some, you know, nice maternal energy. But pretty soon, it was just my dad doing everything, you know. Providing, cooking, cleaning, taking care of me, getting me stuff, all that stuff. I just, you know, shout out, but paternal energy is definitely different. It's a different vibe. It's a different thing. And I think it has to be that because you get the balance of, you know, the masculine and feminine. But just a shout out to men and dads too, that they can do it. But moms deserve every ounce and more, I think, of credit because, you know, my experience is in the minority. So many people I know, they are who they are because of their mothers and what they did for them.
Well, I know a lot of single dads, and they do a great job. So,
yeah, good stuff.
Did you say that we missed Kevin?
Oh, yeah, he's our last card.
Oh, well, let's get on to it.
Kevin, yeah, absolutely.
Sorry, I didn't see him. Let's go.
So, Kevin, for you, I have number two, esteem and validation. Self-esteem is self-worth based on internal expectations and validation, not to be confused with them-esteem, which is self-worth based on external expectations and validation, that is, what others think. High self-confidence is not the same as high self-esteem. Self-validation is the highest regard you give to yourself. Fully experience the truths of your own path.
Well, it's interesting, Kevin. I got the Page of Clubs and the Three of Clubs. So, okay, and the Page of Diamonds and the Three of Clubs. So the Page of Pentacles and the Three of Wands is this, how you see the future, and how you're investing your energy and how you're looking at where you're putting your energy into the future. And as I recall, and again, I only remember energy, but let's say a year or two ago was difficult for you, and now you're relearning yourself to be confident in your decisions, even though things might have gone sideways before. And it's not that you were wrong before, it's just, look, sometimes people do people things, you know. You go on, you mind your own business, and somebody runs a red light, you know. And it's not because you were doing anything wrong. It's just that, so you're becoming more aware of your environment, more aware of people, and you've got all those protective measures in place. So this is about having your own confidence in how you're investing in your life and finances and business and how you're looking at future. So I want to say, don't second guess yourself. Just be aware of your environment and the people you're dealing with. I think that's a good affirmation.
I love the way you say that. Sometimes people do people things.
They do. I was yesterday. I went driving to run some errands, and three people within six blocks. It was like I was invisible. They just pulled out of their driveway, pulled out of a side street, ran a stop sign, and I went, am I invisible?
Well, I don't often run stop signs, but there have been times where I didn't see somebody, and I felt so embarrassed because I cut somebody off, or it's because of their awareness. You know, it doesn't happen often, but it has happened where I didn't see. Thankfully, they were paying attention, and I'm horribly embarrassed. So it happens to all of us.
This is just leaving my street in six blocks. And I thought, what? People are doing people things, you know? They're in a hurry. They're not paying attention. They're not looking, you know, or they're selfish. They're whatever.
Are you trying to say I'm selfish? Is that what you're trying to say?
No.
I mean, I am, but I just didn't know that you knew that.
People do people.
They do. Oh, they do. But it has been a good discussion. You know, it has gone by quickly. We went from thinking, what are we going to talk about, to going over on our time. And that's how it be sometimes. It's good stuff. I love it.
Yeah, I do. That's great.
Since, you know, a quick shout out just because I feel it needed, based on my current comment, when my stepmom Tracy entered my life, that was a big shot of maternal energy and lots of love for her and mothers everywhere. So I want to make sure I'm not leaving her out in my little comment earlier either.
I understand.
It just was on my mind. I'm sorry. I know most people wouldn't think of it, but it's been a great discussion. I love the diversity. Go ahead.
Can I give just an update on Dr. Dan, if I may,
everybody? Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Dr. Dan is dealing with terminal cancer. He's been with us in IMHS and TFU for many, many years, bless his heart. He is trying a brand new therapy for liver cancer that may help extend his life. And although the cancer has gone through his body and is now in his brain, he is coherent. He's managing. He is receiving treatment. So he's, you know, I'd say moderately dealing with pain. But he is going to try this revolutionary new liver cancer treatment. So I just want to, everybody, if you can just give Dr. Dan Jablonski, you know, a good kind of rush of good energy and positive energy that he can be with us a little longer. And I want to say, bless his heart, he has made that public, so I'm not breaking a confidence, just so everyone knows that too. So a shout out to Dr. Dan and his husband, Dr. Gordon, and we love you guys.
Absolutely. Thank you. I'm really happy you brought that up. And absolutely, if, you know, you can find them on, I know, I think they're, are they looking for, you know, some support and put some positive support out there as well? You know, basically, if you know him, if you want to reach out, give your best wishes and, you know, let him know that you're thinking about him, I think that'd be appreciated.
Yeah, sure.
But definitely we're sending all our positive thoughts, well wishes, good vibes. Thank you very much for bringing that up. But
well, you know, through the full moon until next week, people don't let folks push you around.
Well, I think that is good advice always. It I can't do better than that. Don't let people push you around. Live your own truth. Practice your free will. And remember, demons can't make you do anything.
That's true.
But thank you everybody for joining us again. I can't wait to have you next week. You know, if you're interested on joining us and you have some ideas about what you want to talk about, go ahead and reach out to me, you know, let us know. You can always reach out to me at drmichael@icmhchurch.org and love to hear from you. So can't wait to see you guys next week. Until then, listen, think, learn, grow, and live. Good night.
Good night, everybody.